So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
But I'm telling you, as I worship tonight, and I've said this several times, I've talked about the atmosphere shifting. And as I was sitting there, and I felt like the Lord gave me a word, and I'm like, Lord, I've given that word so many times. And he said, give it another time tonight. And I said, all right. And that is this. I don't know who you are. And I know it's general. And you know, it's like, well, that could be anybody. And it's right. You're right. You're right. But I'm telling you, if you will receive it. God said the atmosphere for somebody is changing during this fast. The atmosphere is not going to be the same. I don't know if that's in your business, in your family, in your relationship, whatever. But there is an atmospheric change that's happening. I know that it's already started happening in me. There ain't no doubt in my mind, as we begin to fast, God began to do some shifting, sifting in me. Amen? And so I pray that you're on journey. You're like, well, Pastor, I didn't get on board with it. Well, you can get on board today. Today. And we had to do a retake on the video because I said, I hope that you're enjoying your fast. And then I stopped. I said, if anybody's enjoying their fast, they're not fasting. Woo, I love this. I hope you're enjoying. We changed it. I hope you're enjoying the presence of the Lord as you fast. Now that's different. Amen. Amen. And men, I'm hesitant to say what I'm about to say because it's presumptuous, it's arrogant, it's, it puts pressure on me. But I'm just telling you that if I can get out Sunday, what the Lord has put in my spirit for Sunday, I believe that it's one of the most single message that could change the whole complexion of your life. I know that just one word from God can change your situation. Now, I can preach till I'm blue in the face, but if you get one word from God, it can and it will change your life. And I just believe that I'm starting a new series this Sunday, and I'm calling it The Path. The Path. All paths lead somewhere, even if it's nowhere. But now here is direction determines your destination. And I believe that if you'll get that this Sunday, it's going to change your life. I'm hoping that tonight's going to change your life. But I know that if at all possible, you get here or tune in or whatever you got to do. Now tonight, let me talk about this because this has been heavy on me. And I'm going to try to get through it in one service. But it's cool because I plan on preaching next Wednesday night. So I'm not going to rush. I'm just going to kind of take my time and do what God feels has called me to do. I want you to go with me to the book of John chapter 11. The book of John chapter 11. We're going to verse number 17. A very familiar passage of Scripture. John chapter 11, verse 17. When you get there, say amen. I see some of you just now reaching for your Bible, so I'm going to give you a few moments. Delayed reaction. Thank you, musicians. Hallelujah. Amen. John chapter 11. Now, let me just go ahead and warn you, they're having squad wars over in the gym, and so it's going to get a little loud over there, so we got to get a little bit louder over here. Amen. So, that's right. Come on out there. Move if you got to, girl. You know, my wife sits over there on Wednesday nights because she's got ADD too. And she's easily distracted. And so she starts listening over there and don't listen to what I'm saying. And sometimes she gets aggravated and I have to pray her through. Amen. How many know what I'm talking about? Amen. See, she ain't the only one that she's most of the time praying for me. But from time to time, she needs a little prayer. Talk her off and pray her off that wall. Come on, somebody. Amen. John chapter 11, here's what it said. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Talking about Lazarus. And now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Lazarus had died. Mary and Martha was his sisters. And they were mourning the fact that Lazarus, a friend of Jesus, had passed away. And then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she went out and met him. But Mary, I can see it in my eye. I ain't going out there. I believe she probably shook her head and said, I am not going out there. He knows he could have come up in here and healed my brother. I ain't going out there. I think she was Southern. I ain't going out there. Mary sit in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. If you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. I want to talk to you tonight about when deliverance is delayed. When deliverance is delayed. Because we understand that God is a powerful God. We know that we serve an almighty God, don't we? I mean, if you've been serving God any length of time, you believe that he is mighty and he is powerful. We love to talk about the wonderful miracle working power of almighty God. We sing songs about the miracle working power of God. And many of us have experienced in one fashion or another the miracle working power of God. Let me just ask that question. If you're here tonight and you've experienced the miracle working power of God, come on, lift your hand. Now, if you wasn't able to lift your hand, if you're saved, that's the miracle working power of God. But even beyond the miracle working power of God, the greatest miracle of all the earth is when a lost soul comes to know Jesus Christ and is saved. But many of us have, yeah, go ahead. Many of us have experienced physical, emotional, marital, materialistic, money. We've experienced the miracle working power of God. There is nothing that is too hard for God to do. There's nothing too hard for God to do. However, sometimes we look and go, God, why didn't you do it? Because any problem, I want you to hear me closely, any problem that you might have right now or will have in the future is not too hard for God to fix. Wherever you are, any trouble that you find yourself in, not only any problem, but any trouble that you find yourself in right now or in the future is not too hard for God to fix. You cannot find a place in the desert or the wilderness where God can't get to you. There's not a hole that you can climb in. There is not an ocean too deep, or a mountain too high, or a crevice where you can hide, that the blood of Jesus and the anointing of Jesus can't find you where you are and help you out of that situation and help you come through it. Now, I didn't say that he's going to give you the outcome you want, but the Lord said he will get you out of the situation at some point in time. And if he didn't get you out, he'll walk with you through. And if he doesn't walk with you through, he'll sit in the pit with you. He'll do whatever needs to be done for you to know that he'll never leave you, he'll never forsake you, but he'll always be there with you. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what problem it is. It doesn't matter what the need is. It doesn't matter what the situation is. It doesn't matter what the adversity is, because God is a mighty God. It doesn't matter how strong the storm is. Doesn't matter how fierce the winds are. Doesn't matter how high the floodwaters get. It doesn't matter how bad it looks to everybody around you. It doesn't matter how serious it looks right now, because God is well able to meet your need in one instant of time, in one moment of time, because He is still a mighty, mighty God, and you are not only on His radar, baby, you're on His refrigerator. He knows your face. He knows your name. He knows where you're at, and you are not where He can't get to you. Hallelujah. Any need at all, it's no problem with God. Now, we need to establish that. There's no need, there's no problem, there's no situation that God can't handle, that God can't intervene. But then here comes the problem. What about, all right, let me give you a little bit more before I get in there. Let me give you a little bit, a few more scriptures. Many of you know these already. But my God shall supply all of my needs according to His riches in glory, Philippians 4:19. Now unto Him that is able to exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, Ephesians 3:20. Or He is able, 2 Corinthians 2:14, He is able to always cause us to triumph. He is able, in case you wasn't understanding the triumph part, He is able for me to have the victory every day of my life. He is able, Sheparosa, to have the joy of the Lord every day of my life. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I ask or think. He is able. He causes me to triumph. He causes me to walk and live victorious every day of my life. But, point one. What about when the answer doesn't come right away? Yeah. All right. Well, Pastor, I've been doing this for 30 minutes. That's the kind of society we're living in right now. Pastor, I've been believing God to move in my behalf for over 3 minutes now. What happens when we get a different answer than the one we expected to get? Oh, that was the devil. Really? Might not have been. It might have been God. Can I be, and again, this is going to be, you know, a participation Wednesday night, I guess. But can I ask you, have you ever got an answer from God that you thought was the devil but turned out to be God? That happened to my wife when she prayed for her husband. She thought it was the devil, but God turned it around, made it into a hey. All right, well, let me ask you this. What happens, and I know none of y'all have ever experienced this, only myself. What happens when you pray and it gets worse? Now, what most of us do is when we pray and it gets worse, we quit. We quit praying. I'm not going to pray like that. It's gotten worse since I started praying. What happens when deliverance is delayed? Why do we face difficulties even when we are doing what God told us to do? I had a guy that he was in part of my life for a long time, and he was older than me, so I respected my elders, and I didn't rebuke him openly, but under my breath I did. Because here's what he would always say. Well, if it's the Lord, everything will just work out smoothly. I said, you want to talk to Paul about that? You want to talk to Jesus about that? It wasn't too smooth when they were whipping his back with the cat-o'-nine-tails. It wasn't smooth when Paul was shipwrecked two or three times. It wasn't smooth when he was stoned. It wasn't smooth when they beat him. It wasn't smooth when they let him into prison. It wasn't smooth when they beheaded John the Baptist for preaching the gospel. It wasn't smooth that all of the apostles that they were martyred, it wasn't smooth for them. So you can't just say, well, this is God because everything's easy. No, baby, when the devil is setting a trap for your life, everything is also easy. Everything is also fine. That's why you can't just go by how circumstances look. You've got to know by the word of the living God. The Bible says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You better know what God has said in his word and in your spirit. And let me tell you this, if your spirit doesn't line up with the word, then it is not God. Well, but Pastor, God's given me a new revelation. No, he hasn't, John Smith. Don't get me started. When these questions come, does that affect our view of the mighty God that we serve? Now, us mature Christians go, no. And some of us are lying. I remember as a young preacher, full of faith, full of anointing, full of passion. And at Mariana Assembly of God, the pastor called down people to pray for this person who was sick. Of course, I'm a young minister. I'm coming with guns a-blazing. I'm coming with fire in my eyes and anointing dripping from my hands. Man, I'm coming. And as I walk down there, she begins to say, I need some Holy Ghost-filled men. Well, by God, I'm one. Hey, I need some men full of faith. By God, I'm one of them too. This woman's got cancer. Oh, I better sit down. And I took the first seat that I could find and sat down. Why, preacher? Because I had prayed for my mother. And she died from the complications of cancer. So this ain't something I just heard about. This is something I've experienced. That if you let the devil, he will paralyze you in your faith, paralyze you in your walk, and calls you to view God as not able to do what you once thought he could do because he didn't answer the prayer the way that you wanted him to answer. See, I can hear the bitter cries of Mary and Martha as they weep, Jesus, if you would have been here. I can hear him weep before he got there. Jesus, while there was still hope, while there was still time, where are you? Jesus, I thought you would have come. This is your friend. I thought you were our friend. Well, maybe he didn't come. Maybe the prayer wasn't answered because, oh yeah, last week I messed up. Y'all don't ever do that, do you? But yeah, last week I missed church. I'm sure that was it. And it is. That's what's the reason. Got you all here today because I tell you that. No! I'm here because I didn't hit the mark. The Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have missed the mark somewhere, somehow. That's why, that's why God doesn't do it on merit. He does it on grace and on mercy. Because none of us are good enough. But Lord, if you'd have been here, this wouldn't have happened. God, why? 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 Jesus, how come you haven't come by here just yet? Have you ever uttered those words? They had called for the master to come, but he never came. He never did. And now it's too late because Lazarus is dead and Mary weeps off in a corner somewhere. And Lord, I don't understand. Lord, I'm confused. I pray. I did the seven steps. I did the five steps to healing. I did all of the steps the evangelist told me to. I bought all of the books. I bought, and it still didn't happen. Because you got to recognize that God is sovereign. You cannot manipulate God, and you cannot back God in a corner. God is God all by himself. But just because that he didn't do doesn't mean that he couldn't do. Huh. Mary weeps. Martha moans as she falls to her knees. Jesus, I thought we were friends. See, there are times in all of our lives that things just appear to be that way. Have you ever been there? I was there as a young preacher when my mother passed away. See, I didn't understand it because my sister, who may be even watching tonight, my sister was sick before my mother, and we thought my sister was going to die. She had 5 or 6 death illnesses, or illnesses that should have killed her, and almost did, but we prayed. And God resurrected her. She was never supposed to be able to have children. One of her children came to be our intern here a few years ago. Now she has 2 children, and one's married, the other one's about to get married. And so, you know, so Pastor, why? Well, if I prayed and it happened here, then shouldn't it have happened here? What do you do when deliverance is delayed? Well, I think it's something that we need to look at. What do you do when things appear to be dead? When things appear to be over? When it appears that God has turned a deaf ear to your cry? Now, I don't want you to raise your hands on that because I don't want you to embarrass yourself. But I will tell you that I've said that to the Lord. God, why did you turn a deaf ear to my prayer? God, why didn't you hear me? Because when you're hurting and when you're going through trouble and trial, you do not think straight. All you think about is your pain and what you're going through, and you want to punch somebody in the throat when they start talking about Romans 8:28, for all things work together for the good, shut your mouth. It ain't my good right now. Come on, has anybody ever said it? God, I can't see nothing good coming out of this. I don't understand. And that's when you've got to realize that God is not human. Isaiah 55 says his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. However, his word will not return unto him void. It will go out and accomplish that which he sent it to do. And many times, he hides from us what he sent it to do. Now see, here's where we've got to come understanding. That you are so important to Jesus that he died for you. But you're not so important to the world and the universe that your happiness is the only thing that matters. My God. You cry out. You feel like it's too late for God to do anything concerning this situation. You're desperate for an answer. But no answer has come. How about this one? I love this one. How many of us have gone, God, I need an answer by Thursday. And 4 Thursdays have come and you haven't still got an answer. Or here's what many of us do. We go to fleecing God. Now, if you're young in the Lord, you don't know anything about no fleecing God. But we begin to fleece God. And what does that mean? We do things like this. God, if it's your will for this to happen, let John Paulette be looking at me when I look up. Yeah. Right? And why wouldn't he be looking at me? I'm up here preaching. But if it's not something we want to do, Lord, when I look up, let camels be walking down the aisle, God, and I'll know that's a sign of you. Okay, you must not want me to do it, right? You don't want to fleece God because God might fleece you. ain't got time to cover that right now. You cry out, God, where are you? But the wind picks up your cries and slaps it back into your face again and again. You pray, but it feels like that the words come out of your mouth and up your nostrils. They don't reach heaven. And you begin to think that they don't reach heaven because God has not heard me. There was a lady back when I was in Bluntstown. She said, the Lord's not hearing my prayer. And it was one of those times I should have been riding a Harley and I hadn't. And so I didn't have a Harley at that time. I didn't even know about it. But I just looked at her and I said, well, why don't you just cuss God? If I was you, I'd just cuss him. She went, I was 24. Come on, I ain't no grits with groceries. She said, Pastor, God would hear me if I cussed. And that's what I was trying to get her to realize. But sometimes we got to be shocked back into reality. We don't think that God would hear us cry, but he would hear us cuss. We don't think God would hear the cries of our heart, but he would hear us cuss. We think that he wouldn't hear us praise him, but he would hear us cuss. You know, listen, every mama in here, you know what I'm talking about, what I'm about to say. Every mama in here. Now, daddy's right. No, we don't. We still clueless. But mama knows the difference between a hurt cry and a spoiled cry. Every mama in here. Oh, leave him alone. He's all right. Well, he's crying. No, leave him. Don't pick that child up. Been on my hip all day. Don't pick that child up. But then if they fall, mama's like Flash Gordon. Flash lightning, just whoop. And you're like, where is she with? She was a ninja. I thought you told me not to pick the child up. Well, the child ain't small right now. It's hurt. The child hurt. How do you know? I just know. Because I've spent enough around the baby to know the difference. See, listen. God has both sides of us. He has the feminine and the he-man. So God knows how to be a mother to us. He knows when we're really hurting, see. He knows when we're just spoiled. He knows when we're throwing a fit. And he knows when we're really hurt. Somebody hear me. God knows. So you keep crying out. What about when you stagger along like a drunken man? In your spirit, as the enemy delivers more and more adversity to you. How about that? When you just walk along, man. You feel like you just can't make it. And then you start thinking that tomorrow will be a repeat of yesterday. Yeah, tomorrow will be a repeat of today. That yesterday is going to repeat itself tomorrow. And it's going to just go on and on. And every day it seems like it happens. And every day you get more bad news and more bad news and more bad news and more bad news and more bad news. What do you do? Before you give up, let's take another look. Before you throw in the towel. Because off in the distance, I see God walking towards you. Off in the distance, I see God walking towards you on top of the waves that are about to sink you. Somewhere off in the distance, and I say in the distance, but he's right there. But I see him coming your way, and you think you're about to go under. And God's saying, I got this. See, my help is coming right now. Your help is coming right now. He's as close as the mention of his name. He is there. Now, he might not reach down right now because you're not at a critical point in your life. Even though you think it's critical. Yeah, come on, somebody. Everybody who has children has dealt with meltdowns that they thought was critical. Baby. It's okay. I can get you a new sippy cup. It's okay. Yeah. Yeah, I know we lost that one, but it's okay. I'll buy you a new one. Be just like the old one. Just less cruddy. I'm looking down the rough and dusty road, the road of adversity of your life, and I think I see something coming to you. The Bible says in Psalms 121, I will look up from the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. He's a very present help in the time of my trouble. Lift up your head. Your redemption draweth nigh. Look up. Quit looking down and look up. What are you looking for? I'm looking for my Redeemer. Ah, because I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. Ah, I've never seen God leave me out here all alone. God's too good and he's too faithful to always leave me out here by myself. I know I might not know when and I might not know where, but I know that my God's on the way. I know that help's on the way because he is a mighty, mighty, mighty good God. Hey! It's not here yet, but it's on the way. God does all things well, even when it seems like it's a disaster. God has his own plan, his own time, his own clock for your life, and he has his own time for your deliverance. God, I can't take it. I know what you can take. I built you. God, I can't take another moment, for I will not put more on you than you're able to bear up under. But with every temptation, I will make a way of escape. God knows what you can make. Hey, how many of you ever thought about this? Boy, God believes in me more than I believe in myself. You ever think, my Lord, God, you must really have faith in me. Because I don't think I can take this, but you think I can take it. I didn't think I could take this, but Lord, I feel like I'm about to fold. I feel like I'm about to be in like a napkin and just fold up and be done with and gone. But God, you on my side, and God comes along and gets up under you and helps you understand that. Bless God, I'm gonna help you to walk when you can't walk by yourself. And then when you think all hope is gone and that you're done, that's when God steps in and says, now I will get the credit for everything I'm about to do in your life. Hallelujah. God is never too late, even when we think he is. God, oh God. Whew. God is for you. Listen to me. I read this today, and boy, I thought it was so strong. Every saint has a past, and every sinner has a future. Baby, you got a future. I don't care where you at in your walk with God. Maybe you're not even serving God. If you come to know him, you've got a future. You may look like your future is bleak and dismal and done, but I've come by to tell you tonight, God brought you here to hear this message that you have a future. Don't you give up. Don't you give in. Don't you throw in the towel. You might not think that you can handle it, but baby, you can handle it because God wouldn't have brought it to you if he didn't know that you could go through it with him. But that's the key. You got to go through it with him. You got to walk hand in hand and step in step with Jesus, or you will not make it. Can you give God glory? You can and you will triumph over the distasteful business of hell if you are willing to patiently wait on the Lord even when the answer hasn't come yet. I've told this story many times, but it fits. I love the analogy of the little boy was on third base, and the guy come up and he was the only one on the field still excited. Everybody else was deflated and defeated. And the little boy was like, hey, batter, 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 hey, batter, 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 hey. So the man said, hey, what's the score? He said, 27-0. He said, man, y'all are killing them. He goes, no, they got 27. Come on, batter, 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 hey. He said, how can you be so excited? He goes, we ain't got up to bat yet. See, you just needed to go ahead and decide. All right, devil, you throwed your hits. You got your licks in. I hadn't went on offense yet. I've just been in a defensive posture. I've just been praying. I've just been over here taking it. And when I thought your punches were going to take me out, they're just fueling my fire. And they're just causing me, I'm about to get on the offense. I'm about to start fasting. I'm about to start praying. And this cometh not but by prayer and by fasting. And when I begin to get on the offense, devil, I'm going to beat your tail. Hey! Point number two. When deliverance is delayed. Isaiah chapter 40. I didn't put it back there, Broderick. But I want you to find it for me. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 27. Isaiah chapter 40. Verse 27. I'm going to give you point two, and I'm going to say point three and four and five for next week. Man, I'm going to tell you, they're doing such a great job back there. Thank you. Come on, give them a hand. Thank you, guys. Broderick kind of semi-retired, but we had to call him out of retirement today. Had a pinch hitter, we had to have him in. All right, I'm going to go ahead and read it. How many turn there? All right, most of you turn there. Oh, Jacob, how can you say the Lord does not see your troubles? Oh, Israel, how can you say God ignores your rights? Have you never heard and have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weary or weak. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. And then verse number 29, he gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youth will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But, you know what the but means, right? But disregards what everything else in front of it says. But, those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings of like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Who? Those who wait, who trust in the Lord. Amen. Those who wait in the Lord. Pastor, I can't do nothing. Wait. Pastor, I'm so tired. Stand. Pastor, I can't. Shut up. Sometimes you just need to shut up. Quit talking about it. Quit giving the devil due. Quit giving the devil due. Well, devil's really been on me. Praise his name. Whose name are you praising? Praise Jesus' name. So sometimes, here's what Job said. You know, I want you to think about Job for a moment. Here he is, praying for his children every day, making sacrifice every day for his children. And in one afternoon, all of his children are obliterated. And then they come get all of his cattle. Then they come get all of his goats. Or they can do that first, and then the kids are. They do come get all of his materialistic things. Well, I'm broke, but at least I got my family. I've been waiting to talk to you. You don't have your family. All 11 children were killed. And the Bible says this. You don't find where Job says, well, what am I going to do now? You don't hear Job go, what did I do to deserve this? No, the Bible said he said not a word. He said, I will not speak so that I don't sin against my God. Listen, man, you need to you look at your neighbor and tell him, understand the power of shut up. Danielle, did you say that to your husband? Understand the power to shut up. Understand the power that you ain't always got to say something. Just shut up sometimes. Can I tell you, a lot of arguments for in families wouldn't happen if you just learned how to shut up. Don't try to get the last word in. I always get the last word in. Okay. Are you listening? If you can just wait on the Lord a little while longer, He will renew your strength. See, listen, you got to know which heel is worthy of charging the heel. Because you can't charge every heel. You don't need to walk every plank and fight every battle. Now, I'm going to go somewhere, and everybody ain't going to like it, but it's all right. You can't fight everybody else's battle, even in the spirit. Uh-uh. Some people will dump their problem on you and won't pray about it because they know you're praying about it. And you over there fasting and praying, and they're feasting and laughing. Right? Think about Jonah. Think about Jonah, man. Jonah was in the belly of the ship asleep while everybody else was fighting the storm. And they were throwing, read it for yourself, they were throwing their stuff off. What was Jonah doing? And Jonah knew why the storm was there. You don't have enough resources to fight everybody's battle. Well, Pastor, how do we do it? Well, I mean, I can tell you, I'm the pastor of this church. We have 800 to 1,000 people that come here. I can't intercede for everybody in this church. So I try to pray for everybody who asks me to pray, but I only intercede for the ones who God assigns me to. Well, Pastor, how do I know if I'm assigned to intercede? If you feel the burden. I didn't say you felt the guilt. You feel the burden. You don't feel the guilt of what they're going through. You feel the burden. And God, it's a God burden. And they didn't put it on you. Come on, somebody. And see, that's why, listen, that's why we ask you that if you have a prayer answered, if you put a prayer request on there, that's why we want to hear the praises on the focus cards. Because we got intercessors that continue to pray for your need because you wrote it down, but you didn't ever say quit praying. I've done that. Hey, how so and so? Oh, they made a full recovery. And I'm still praying. I've been using all my energy trying to lift this joker up. And he been up. I'm going to have to start praying for you because I'm going to put you down. Amen. The answer hasn't arrived yet, but he will renew your strength. Why does he work the way that he does? I don't know. But I do know this, we will understand it better by and by. That's an old song, isn't it, Jane? And we'll understand it. That's not it, is it? It is, and we'll understand it better by and by. What's the chorus? In the sweet by and by, on that beautiful shore, in the sweet
by and by, we will be in a beautiful shore. Amen.
All right, yeah. That was, if y'all didn't see it, that was ham bone. By and by. My wife taught me that. Y'all think I'm kidding. She used to do it on my neck all the time. I'm like, hey. We'd be going down the road. She'd be keeping me bah, 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 on my neck. I'm like, hey. You're making me a redneck. You know, because she was slapping my neck. All right, I quoted it earlier, but now I want to read it, and I'm going to be done. Isaiah 55 and 8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. My thoughts than your thoughts, for as the man cometh down in the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereinto I sent it. Nowhere in that scripture did I see it said, it will do what Ronnie wants it to do, or what Ronnie sent it to do, but what I, the Lord. God's ways are much higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. He doesn't do things just the way we do them. He doesn't think the way we do. But there is one thing that we do know about God, and that is His word will not return to Him void. It will accomplish what it was sent to do. And if God has told you something to do in your life, you can count on it that He will do it. And if the promise, if the promise hasn't come to pass yet, then the journey is not yet over. Sometimes God calms the storm, and other times He gets on board and calms us. Sometimes He calms the storm, sometimes He calms us. Deliverance might be delayed right now, but wait on the Lord.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.